My timeout chair was kiwi green and plastic, only knee-high to my mother, the one who banished me there. It faced the wall between the door leading onto the patio and our old floor model TV. The purpose of having me sit between an escape route and a blaring source of entertainment was never lost on me. I was supposed to know at all times that I was being punished. I was sent to my timeout chair more often than I thought was fair, usually for saying something I shouldn't have. On the way there, my mother always implored me to think about what I had done. Just sit there and don't get up until you're sorry. I sat, but I didn't think about what I had done. Instead, I wondered, why? Why should I have to feel sorry? Apparently, we humans are gifted with a conscience. It's what stops us from doing bad things and gives us that little twinge of self-satisfaction when we do what we feel is right. For instance, consider the car in front of you on that narrow slice of Market Street, the one that has somehow managed to cut you off twice in the last 10 minutes. Your conscience is what keeps you from hurling every curse you know at the driver. Still, it's more than that. Most people agree that the conscience is a moral compass. It's not only what makes us feel guilty when we make a poor decision, it's what helps us differentiate between what is fair and what is harmful. That sour, sick feeling you get when you're on the cusp of going against your moral convictions, that can be described as a hard jab from your conscience. Yet sometimes exercising moral law means going against social law. MLK Jr. advocated that an individual who breaks the law that conscience tells him is unjust and willingly accepts the penalty for his actions to arouse the conscience of the community is in reality expressing the very highest respect for law. But coming to such weighty decisions requires a lifetime of work toward knowledge, balance, and consideration for the welfare of others. So, let's say you're 4 and the top speller in your class, something your mother knows but underestimates when she spells out something she doesn't want you to know while on the phone with her friend. And you, of course, being inquisitive, ask about it later, in the wrong company. Well, a timeout chair is where you might go to reflect on your lack of good judgment, to say, fine-tune your conscience for later reference. Being a great speller? Good. Embarrassing mom by showing off those spelling skills? Bad. This reflection is exactly what I was avoiding the day I realized my chair was the perfect height to jump on and slide across the living room floor, just like Janet Jackson in the video for Pleasure Principle. I'd watched her do it plenty of times, completing the rest of the choreography a half second later than Miss Jackson If You're Nasty herself. I approached the move with a good deal of fear. If I jumped too high or slid too long, I would have banged my head against the marble coffee table. But I hopped on the seat and tipped the back down just right, and just in time for my mother to come back and catch me doing yet another thing to be sorry for. Apparently, dancing to hits of the late 80s was a sign that one's conscience was not intact. Perhaps I would have done better to listen to H.L. Mencken when it came to this sort of thing. He suggests that conscience is the inner voice that warns us somebody may be looking. In that case, my conscience must have always been on the fritz. My timeout chair and I never got away with anything.